Gospel of John, we have been learning about how love is the mark of discipleship. The fourth gospel talks about this a great deal. It talks about how God's love is revealed for us in Jesus. It talks about how Jesus' love is revealed on the cross. And there is this really close connection between love and our discipleship. And that's great because I like love. Love feels really good. But one of the things that we have to understand when we're reading this fourth gospel is that in the fourth gospel, love isn't always something that feels particularly nice. Because the writer of this gospel is clear in lifting for us Jesus' words that the love that he is talking about is a love that involves sacrifice. It is a willingness, he says, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And we know that the greatest example of that is in Jesus, who laid down his life so that we might live in him. But then he invites us into that commandment in ways that are frankly a little bit distressing sometimes, that knowledge that we are to lay our lives down. And for most of us, we don't really relate to that. Now, that's not true for all of us, because some of us are police officers and fire personnel and military personnel. And these folks know that they are called every minute of every day to be willing to lay down their life if necessary. So those folks are familiar with the immediate presence of that command. But a lot of the rest of us may not relate to this idea of laying down our lives. And yes, we read reports in the media of heroes who are willing to lay down their lives. And I've mentioned before the young man at Parkland who held the door closed against the shooter while he tried to lock it and was himself shot 7 times. And he survived. But I'm sure his life has changed forever. And we applaud those heroes. But we know that they're something that most of us probably won't ever experience. And so we struggle to understand what does it mean for us to live lives of sacrifice. And yeah, we do make sacrifices. I mean, we give to the food pantry and we give to Crop Walk. We sacrifice, we give out of our resources. But I think there is another facet of sacrifice that a lot of us don't often think about that I also believe that Jesus calls us into. When Jesus calls us to be willing to lay down our life for our friend, it may not always just mean be willing to die, but it may mean literally being willing to just give yourself up, just give yourself over, get outside of yourself. Several years ago, I did a wilderness trip with a youth group from St. Paul. We went to the Boundary Waters, and some of you are familiar with the Boundary Waters up north. It's a wonderful, beautiful wilderness area, and you travel by canoe. And when you go to a Lutheran camp, you go out into the wilderness, and you canoe for a while, and then you have to portage between lakes. And those portages involve getting out and carrying 1 or 2 50-pound backpacks, the Duluth packs that they use, or portaging single-handedly the 85-pound canoes that you rest on your collarbones and balance with your hands while you hike the distance to the next lake. One person does that. I really stink at portaging. I've done like very, very short portages. I can carry though 2 of those 50-pound packs. At least when I was younger, I could. So that was cool. There was one girl in our trip, the last time I went. See, the strongest person in our group, the best at carrying an 85-pound canoe, balancing it on the shoulders and carrying it alone, the best person was not one of the guys. It was one of the girls. She was the strongest portager we had. She always took the lead. She portaged at every portage. The rest of us were trying to trade off, but she, along with our guide, next to the guide, she was the strongest person we had. And I appreciated about that. She was a young woman who knew what it was like to grow up in a culture that doesn't think that you should be the strongest person in the group because you're the wrong gender for that, right? She knew what it was to set goals for herself and achieve them. She was a woman who strove hard, a young woman, high school student. She would set challenges for herself, and she would discipline herself to work toward those goals. It was an incredible gift of hers. She was dedicated and tenacious and strong. She was an awesome leader, and she was great at portaging. And we really appreciated the gift that she gave to us at always being able to do that. Well, near the end of the trip in the Boundary Waters, there is a particular portage that I had been on before, and it's a little bit notorious because it is so long. It's called the J.A. Paulson Portage. So if you're up in the Boundary Waters, for short, we called it the Jap Portage. By the way, when the U.S. Forest Service was up there fighting wildfires, they changed all of their maps because they thought that that was a derogatory term. Because they thought it meant the Japanese portage. No, it doesn't mean that. It means J.A. Paulson. It was somebody's name. But we all knew the Jap portage. We all knew the Jap portage. It's over a mile long, and it is not level. It is uphill and downhill. It is a tough portage. And Sarah set for herself the goal that she would do that whole portage on her own. That she would do that full mile with that canoe on her shoulders without having to ask someone to spell her or take a break. She was going to get through that portage. And that was her goal through the whole trip, you know. And that's what she did. She'd set a challenge, and then she'd really work hard to meet it. Well, so we got to that day, and we're heading out on the portage, and our guide, who was scary strong, I mean, he could run with a canoe on his shoulders. I saw him run up a 5-foot wall, like a cliff face, run up it with a canoe on his shoulders. So he was really strong. He completed that portage really fast, and he came back. Jessica is a little over halfway. Sorry, Sarah, I got the wrong name. Sarah's a little over halfway, and he says, Sarah, I need you to give me the canoe and let me finish this. We got to hurry. And she said, no, I can do this. And he said, no, Sarah, there's a storm running in, and we have to get off of the next lake before that lightning hits. We've got to move. And she says, no, I can finish this. I can finish this. He said, Sarah, I need you to give me your canoe. For the safety of the group, I need you to let me take your canoe. We've got to get out of here. And she had to let go. Because see, her self-understanding was that she was strong, and that she would meet a challenge, and that she didn't get up while she never gave up while she had any possible strength left. She would keep working and working and working to overcome her challenge. And it was so hard for her to let go of her sense of self and who she wanted to be. She had to lay down her sense of who she wanted to be for the sake of the group. That was one of her greatest growing edges in that trip, was not learning how to be even stronger, but learning how to lay down her desire to be that person. Sometimes self-sacrifice is not what we often think of, but it is that willingness to let go of ourselves. Marty was telling me a story this week of a story he read on somewhere in social media of a man who had been a bully in high school. I don't know if anybody else saw this story. He was just one of those guys. He was a bully. And there were two girls in particular whose lives he just made miserable. Miserable in high school. And as he grew into an adult, he got better, you know, like a lot of us do. He got better, and he regretted the way he had treated these two girls in high school. He regretted it so much, he felt so badly about it, that it really ate at him to the degree that his wife finally researched and found those two women and arranged for them to meet with her husband. And they were going to meet at a coffee shop, and he came in, and they were sitting at one table, and he couldn't even go up to their table. He sat down at another table, and he was so overwhelmed with his guilt and his shame and his remorse that all he could do was sit there and cry, until finally the women kind of yelled out, "We forgive you," and he was able to join them. And his desire to reconcile is really, really admirable. But you know, he was still missing a piece. because his focus in that meeting was his guilt and his remorse and his desire to be free of those. Even still, more so than his desire was the hurt and the pain and the lifelong impact on those two women. They ended up taking care of him again. But to practice self-sacrifice sometimes is to lay down your sense of who you are. Because his sense was, I'm a good man now. I'm a good man now, and I hate that I did these things because I'm a good man now. And he was so overwhelmed by his grief at not being the good man that he couldn't reach out to actually focus first on those he had hurt. Self-sacrifice is a challenging thing. I was also raised by a mom who taught me to be a good person. That was one of the key foundational teachings of my life. Be a good person. Be nice to people. If you're a good person and you're nice to people, people will like you. And that was sort of the groundwork of all of my interactions. I'm a good person. I am a nice person. And therefore, people like me. And that is a good self-understanding to have until it gets in the way. Because what I found as I grew into an adult, when I started having difficult conversations with people who are different from me about what they have experienced in their life, around things like, for example, racism, my immediate default position fell back into, but I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I'm a good person, and I treat people well, and people like me. And that sense of myself, of who I am, became so primary in those conversations that they got in the way of me hearing the person who was talking to me. And my head was going to trying to defend the fact that I'm a good person. I'm a nice person. I treat people well. And I need you to like me because I'm a good person. And my sense of self, my sense of who I needed to be, the sense of who I wanted other people to see me to be, that got in the way. And there is a sense at which sometimes we need to lay our lives down and not have it be about who I am. There are places and stages and times in the world where it needs to not be about who I am, but it needs to be always about who Jesus is. Because the reality of the fact is that I am a pretty good person most of the time, but I'm no better than any of you. And in some ways, probably worse than a good portion of you. Where we are all the same is that we are all sinners. We're all broken. We all make mistakes. We all do things that are wrong. That is who I am. I strive to follow Jesus, and I want to be obedient. Sometimes I want to obey Jesus almost as much as I want to be liked. But my reality is I really like to be liked. And that gets in the way of obedience. Sometimes. Self-sacrificing love is a love that remembers that along with everyone else, I am a sinful person who needs forgiveness. Self-sacrificing love is a love that remembers that I have received forgiveness at the cross. Self-sacrificing love is a love that remembers that I can step away from worrying and thinking about who I am and remember who Jesus is and reflect that to the person whom I'm listening to or speaking with. Self-sacrificing love means to understand how to lay yourself down. Step aside from yourself. Get over yourself. Give yourself up to God and to your neighbor. There are a lot of heroes in the world. There are heroes who perform acts of self-sacrificing love I cannot even comprehend. There are police officers who rush into situations of incredible danger. There are firefighters who rush into situations that could kill them at any minute. There are military personnel putting themselves in the line of fire all the time. There are all kinds of people who perform heroic acts, and those are important. They give us hope. Those acts of great heroism give us hope for our future. But, beloved, it is the small acts of sacrificing love that also build hope. It is the ability to remember who we are, not who we want to be, but who we are in Christ, and carry that into every interaction in this world. And those acts of self-sacrificing love, where it's not about me feeling better or me being a good person or me being right, but it is about what builds healing and hope for the person I'm with, because I have already found my healing and my hope here, provided for me in my baptism, in the cross, and sustained for me and strengthened within me every week at this table. That is the self-sacrificing love that reshapes the world. Today we celebrate with Zach and with Camden as they continue in their faith journey and receiving the gifts of the table. And along with them, we remember that this gift keeps us strong. It helps us remember who we are. It helps us remember who we belong to. And it helps us remember who we are sent for. Thanks be to God.